Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Joshua 1. Verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
If you want, you can leave your Bibles open to Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9, and that will serve as our text this morning as we begin a study this morning about transition. I believe transition is a good topic for us this morning as we're only a few days away from transitioning into 2016. And this, when we're ending a year and beginning a new year, this is a time that brings great excitement and anticipation into our lives as we start thinking about what the new year is going to hold for us. But you know, transition also, for some people, can be a very difficult and scary part of their lives. Now, I was thinking about college football because I like football, but this past week we were able to celebrate Dennis Stephens' retirement, and his successor said to me, he said, you know, nobody knows who succeeded Bear Bryant. And I said, well, actually it was Ray Perkins, but I'm an Alabama fan, and so that's why I know that. But most folks don't, because, you know, transition is so difficult. Usually folks remember the first guy. They remember the Bear Bryants, they remember the Joe Paternos, but don't necessarily remember the one that's going to follow. You know, I imagine it must be so very difficult for, you know, somebody to run a program for all those many years to have the say over who gets hired, who gets fired, who gets to play, who sits the bench, to make all the ins and the decisions of the daily ins and outs, and to be able to provide such great stability to programs, and to be able, because of that stability, to bring in all the best recruits. But then, all of a sudden, after all of those years, it must be so difficult to come in and have a new head coach. But I believe transition can be difficult. It can be difficult for businesses. It can be difficult for families. And it can even be difficult for churches. Like many of you, I grew up here at Graymeer and listening to John Vaughn preaching for all those years, and being in the Bible program that was developed by Wendell Robinson. And for all those years, I grew up thinking that preachers don't move because there was great stability here at Graymeer. And as I became an adult and began preaching, I realized, boy, was I wrong. Most preachers move often. But we've got something special here at Graymeer, some stability that is so difficult to find, even in churches today. But there's a lot of great transitions that we're going to make in life. Maybe getting married. For some, maybe even seeing a marriage end is a big transition. Becoming a parent. I know some of us are soon going to be watching their children graduate, their last children at home, and watch them go off to college. That's going to be a great transition in their lives. When you move to a new city or when you retire from a job, these are all transitions that we have to adjust to. So as the new year is coming, I ask, what are the big transitions that are going to occur in your life in 2016? Who's going to come into your life? What new opportunities are going to arise? And what spiritual transitions are you going to attempt to make in 2016? Will this be the year that you finally finish that yearly Bible reading plan? Will this be the year that you put Christ on in baptism? Will this be the year that you start teaching Bible class? Those are all spiritual transitions that we need to think about as well. I want us to think about the book of Joshua this morning, because I believe there's a great transition there as we can read about the transition from Moses to Joshua leading Israel. You know, Moses has successfully led Israel all the way to the banks of the Jordan. And Joshua is now going to step in, and he's going to pick up where Moses left off, and he's going to lead them into the Promised Land. So I want us to notice a few things from Joshua 1, 6 through 9 this morning, and hopefully be able to make some applications to the transitions that we're going to be making, or that some of us will be facing in 2016. And help us to remember this morning, let's think about the promise and the preparation and the plan. Let's begin this morning thinking about the promise. I want to read Joshua 1, verse 6 once more. Be strong and courageous. We're going to hear that over and over, and we'll come back to that. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. All the way back in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, God swore, or He made a great promise to Abraham, and really the rest of the Bible seems to hinge upon that promise. Now, if you go back to Genesis, men had turned against God. Men had, rather than scatter out and multiply as He had told them to do, they had all huddled together and they'd stayed together and they'd become prideful. They'd even gotten to the point where they tried to build a tower all the way to heaven because they wanted to make a name for themselves. And as a result, God scattered the men throughout the earth. He scattered their languages. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God makes this great promise to Abraham. It's got three parts to it. The first part is a seed promise that the Messiah is going to come through his lineage. But then there's also a nation promise that he's going to make his descendants into a great nation. But then there's the land promise that he's going to give them a land of their own. And that's the promise that we're thinking about this morning in the book of Joshua. You know, and God planted this dream, this promise, in the mind of Abraham, and it's passed down from generation to generation to the point that everybody in Israel is thinking about when is God going to fulfill this promise and give us this land that He's promised to us. And Abraham goes down to Canaan, and the promise is again repeated to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and then to Joseph. And it looks like the promise is not going to be fulfilled. It looks like when famine hits the land, it looks like the whole family is going to die out. But God, again, preserves His promise by promoting Joseph to being the second in command in Egypt. And He takes care of His family and helps them to survive. But when Genesis ends and Exodus begins, we've got a new Pharaoh that's come into power. And he enslaves Israel. They're enslaved in captivity for about 400 years. And again, 400 years of captivity. It looks like the promise is going to fail. It looks like God's not going to deliver on His promise. Rather than have their own land, they're now captives in somebody else's land. But again, God raises up Moses and he leads Israel out of Egypt. And the seas part before them. And they stop at Sinai and they receive a covenant with God. And they stand on the brink of the promised land. They're ready to go in and take the land that God has promised to them. It's right at their fingertips. Moses sends out some spies to spy out the land. And this is in the book of Numbers. 10 of those spies come back and they give a negative report. Say that land is flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants in the land and they will destroy us. But only 2 men came back with a positive report, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Caleb said in Numbers 13:30, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Only those 2 men believed that they could take the land. But the people listened to the 10. As a result, they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody over the age of 20 is going to die in the wilderness except for Caleb and Joshua. Even along the way, even Moses disobeys and doesn't get to enter into the promised land. But again, it seems like the dream is lost. It seems like the promise is not going to be fulfilled. Every time they seem to have some hope, they do something to put themselves back into despair. But now here's Joshua. God has chosen him and reminds him of that promise. And under Joshua, under his leadership, the promise is going to be fulfilled. Joshua 21, verse 43 actually tells us that that land promise was fulfilled under Joshua as they went in and possessed it and settled in it. But the whole story from Genesis 12 all the way to Joshua 21, this story about this land promise teaches us that even though sometimes it doesn't happen on our time, as we want things to happen, God keeps His promises. I think it's important for us to not lose sight of the promises that God has made for us. But also, I think it's important for us to remember that God has not promised us everything. Sometimes we get confused by that. We wonder why God didn't do this or didn't do that when He never promised it to begin with. There's a poem by Annie Johnson Flint that says, it's titled, "What God Hath Promised." God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. God hath not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. There's a whole lot of things that maybe we've come to expect, but God has not promised. But we need to keep our eyes on what God has promised us. God has promised us in Romans 8 that all things work together for good to those that love Him and obey Him. And I believe that's a difficult, difficult promise because we can't always see it. We don't always understand it. But I believe that He said it, and I believe that He's going to deliver on it because God always keeps His promises. He's promised an escape from our troubles in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He tells us that there's nothing you're going to face that somebody else hasn't already faced and overcome. He tells us there's nothing you're going to face where there's not going to be an escape. God's promised salvation to all those that believe and are baptized, Mark 16, 16. He's promised a home in heaven to all of those who are faithful until the end. John 14, 2 and 3 said, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we must not lose sight of God's promises. He's made some great promises, and He's going to fulfill them. Let's notice also this morning the preparation of Joshua in verses 7 and 8. The preparation of Joshua. "Only be strong and very courageous." There it is again. We're going to come back to it. "Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Notice all those phrases in those two verses about living by the Word of God and not letting it depart from your mouth and meditating on it. He says that's going to lead to good success. I believe Scripture is clear that God intends for us to apply the Word to our lives. And that's going to prepare us for everything we're going to face, for all the transitions that we're going to face in life. I believe His Word is what prepared Joshua to make that transition into being the leader of Israel. If we think about the life of Joshua, he was constantly being prepared for that leadership position. Even thinking about his title, we know Joshua as the son of Nun, but from birth he was being prepared to be a leader. Joshua, the son of Nun, raised knowing nothing but slavery. Again, he was raised during that time of captivity in Egypt. His name was Hoshea, meaning salvation. The one thing that every Hebrew longed for was salvation, freedom from that captivity. But then in Numbers 13 and verse 16, Moses gives Joshua a new name. He calls him Jehoshua, which means God is salvation. Moses attaches God to that salvation that he had longed for. He's teaching him a lesson there that God's the one that provides salvation. God's the one that delivers man, and it's not man. Moses is preparing Joshua. You know, many years later, a child would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be given the same name. He would be given the Greek form of that Hebrew name. He'd be called Jesus, meaning salvation, because he would save his people from their sins. If we think about the time and the training that was put into Joshua, he was, again, being prepared for great leadership. God invested great amounts of time into his preparation. We focus on Joshua mostly as a great warrior, as a great leader of Israel, but we need to remember the great amounts of time and training that were invested into helping him make that transition. Joshua dedicated great amounts of time to following and learning from Moses. You know, you go all the way back into Egyptian captivity and then into the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. There's Joshua following Moses. I believe it's important for us to understand that good leaders are first good followers. If somebody's not a good follower, then they're probably going to struggle in the transition to being a leader. Well, Joshua followed. He obeyed. He learned. He was one who was able to transition, to learn under Moses, and to transition into becoming a trusted spy. He was able to transition into the great commander of the army. He was able to transition into being the leader of Israel that would lead them into seizing the land, that promise that God had made to them. You know, I like goals. I just about always have a to-do list in my phone. I like checklists. I enjoy training. We're training for a marathon right now, and I love checking off the runs. Heather's not as enthusiastic about it, so I mark off her runs as well every time we do it. But I love checking things off and working towards a goal. We know in the aspect of running, and that form of training, the best piece of advice that I ever received was from someone. We've had him speak here. He's run lots of marathons. But he said, always be in training. He said, the thing about running that people struggle with is consistency. He said, that's why you see people that decide, I'm going to run a 5K or I'm going to run a marathon, and they do the bare minimum of training, and then it's very, very painful when they finish. They hardly can't walk. They're all cramped up and falling over, maybe getting IVs and help from the aid stations. Well, it's because of inadequate training. But he said, always be in training, and that makes reaching those goals a whole lot easier. I think there's some application from that to our spiritual lives, as we should always be in training. You know, what are you preparing yourself for spiritually? What are we preparing ourselves for spiritually in 2016? You know, I don't know that God has ever been satisfied with the status quo. That's not the impression I get from reading the Word. You know, just taking Israel out of Egypt didn't seem to be enough. He pushed them into the promised land. Leaving Joshua as a slave boy just didn't seem to be enough. He transitioned. He was prepared and transitioned into being a leader of a great nation. But what are our spiritual goals for 2016? I don't think that just getting the Sunday morning ticket punched should be sufficient. We should constantly be preparing for something more. What is it that you will do, that you will try to prepare yourself to do, to step out of your comfort zone in 2016? You know, will it be that you will read your Bible more regularly? Will it be that you'll start trying to have more frequent family devotionals at home? Maybe it will be that you'll finally step out of your comfort zone and try to teach your neighbor or your friend or your coworker how to become a Christian. Maybe 2016 will be the year that you start attending Bible class. Or maybe it'll be the year that you say, okay, it's time for me to start teaching Bible class. Maybe it'll be the year that you decide to give more financially. Maybe it'll be the year that you go on a mission trip, or the year that you decide to get involved in the youth program. What are your goals for 2016? Whatever they are, we've always got to be in training. We've always got to be in preparation so that we can reach those goals. Our final point this morning, let's think about the plan. In Joshua 1, verse 9. Joshua 1, verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, one thing about transition is that it's exciting, but it's also very, very scary. Isn't change, I think there's an aspect of change that is exciting, but I also think there's a great aspect of change that's very, very frightening. I think our world is a very frightening place right now because of all that's taking place. I think our world is very, very scary. And it's even more frightening when we lose sight of the plan that God has for us. When we lose sight of the fact that God is on our side. If we spend more time focusing on the men that hate us, this world becomes very, very frightening. I find it hard to watch the news because the media, everybody's got something to say about fear. The news, they like shock value. They like for us to be afraid because then we'll tune in the next night to see if we need to still be afraid. The world's very fearful right now. I was thinking about the new Star Wars movie the other day, and I came across a quote from Yoda. Even Yoda's got something to say about fear and what fear leads to. And I talking about maybe it leads to anger and leads to hate, and maybe there's some truth to that. You know, if you open your eyes and your ears, I believe we've been fearful for several years now in this country. And if we open our eyes and ears to what Christians are now doing and saying to the people that we've been afraid of, then there could be some truth to that fear leads to anger and hate and suffering. But I really don't care what Yoda says. I don't really care what the media says, because I care what God says. And I know that God said He has a plan for me. In Jeremiah 29:11, He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil." Not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. God's got a plan for us, and it's heaven. Our hope is in heaven because that's God's plan for me. That's God's plan for us. I know that God has a plan for the world. I don't want to kill the world. I want to teach the gospel to them, because I know in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4 that God revealed His plan for the world, and that's that He desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He's got a plan for the world, and I get to be part of that plan. He wants them to be saved, but I'm part of it because in Matthew 28 and verse 19, He told me to go and make disciples of all nations. And while I'm doing that, I don't have to be afraid, because He also said in Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I'm with you always." He's going to be with us as His plan is unveiling. So be strong and courageous. That "be strong" literally means to bind us together. And to be courageous means to be alert on our feet. He's telling Joshua and Israel to pull together and to stand strong and to trust in the power of God. He's telling Joshua that he's not alone. God is with him. "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." What fears do you have about 2016? Or maybe a better way to ask that question is, what fears could you overcome in 2016? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not give up. Why? Because God keeps His promises. Because God's preparing you for whatever you're going to face. And God has a plan for our success. He has a plan for us to overcome. What are you afraid of? I've shared with some that this may sound silly, but This is a large auditorium. I think one of the biggest fears I've had all my life is when the invitation is offered, stepping out of the aisle and responding to it publicly. That is the scariest thing. And I've been afraid of it all my life. And I love what we've adopted here, and that's that nobody responds alone, because it's a very scary thing to come in front of others and admit that you need help, to admit that you need prayer, and to admit that you need to put Christ on in baptism. Maybe you could overcome those fears this morning. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, he said, "Choose you this day who you're going to serve." We need to choose who we're going to serve in 2016. It's going to be a big year. There's going to be big opportunities. There's going to be great opportunities for us congregationally as well as individually. But we can't forget what God has done. We cannot forget what God has promised us. We cannot forget that God is preparing us. We've got to be willing to do our part, to identify something that we need to improve upon and start preparing, start working towards that. And let's not be overcome with fear. Let's remember that God has a plan for us. Let's not be overcome with fear this morning if we need to make a change in our lives. As we prepare to transition into a new year, I can't think of a better way to prepare for a new year than making things right with God. Possibly someone here this morning needs to make your life right with God, and we want to help you with that. We would love to talk with you and to pray with you and to work with you in making whatever changes you feel you need to make. But the best way to start 2016 off is by making Jesus the Savior of your life. If you believe in Him and are truly repentant of your sins and willing to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, then we would love to immerse you, baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins this morning. Don't be afraid. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?